We're going to read a little further in Paul's letter to the Philippians this evening, chapter 2, and reading from verse 19. We're going to see here of one or two examples from Paul of really examples of servanthood. Servanthood, in a sense, has been the theme of this chapter, really, with Jesus as the servant king. We're going to sing that song in a minute. But here's another couple of examples in the life of Christian people. So let's listen together to God's word. This is Philippians 2 and verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I've no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because, as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you, and is distressed because you heard he was ill. And indeed he was ill, and almost died. But God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. And therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Amen. God bless to us the reading of his word.
Good evening, everyone. We want to thank God once again for this gathered worship time. This is a final series on Philippians for now. We are going to stop here at the end of chapter 2. Maybe we will find some time to continue with that, with the series later on from where we left. Worship, you can remain there. We want to sing from when we were looking at Philippians chapter 2, the general theme, like what David said, is joy in serving. Joy in serving. When we started, we said the general theme that we want to look at is embracing the unshakable joy in suffering. So today we are at the end of chapter 2, and I just thought maybe we have to highlight the verses that I thought they were the most important verses in chapter 2, that is the Christ hymn, where Paul was giving Christ as our model, as our example. So in Zimbabwe, in the hymn book of the Reformed Church in Zimbabwe, hymn 228 is the Christ hymn. So I thought maybe we could finish this series in style with my family singing that in Shona. It simply explains the Christ hymn where it will be saying, Jesus Christ is our King. Let us follow him. And then it explains that he humbled himself in this and this. So you hear words like Jesu Christu, that is Jesus Christ. Ndi Shewedu, He is our King. Ngatimutevere edu. Let us follow him. Then it describes how he humbled himself, being crucified, being obedient unto death, and many other things. So as I speak, may Atlin and the children please come forward so that we can sing. Jesu Kristu ndeshe wedu, ngati mutevere edu, timufugamire. Mavi ose agwadame, na marimi avumere, kuti Jesu ndiyeshe. Jesu ndiyeshe uyu nyangwe afanana nowedenga ari mwana azakatsvaka kuenzana nowedenga ave nokuvhinya pano wakaramba zvizvi, wakaramba zvizvi, wakaita somuranda achiwirwa nemiedzo nokuona nhamo, wakandozvinenepesa kuti ashumire Yesu pata yekoniwapo, pata yekoniwapo, wakazvinzwa nawo wose achingoterera pose kusvikira rufu. Ndirwo rufu rwapadanda rwavatadzi pagokota tigowana nyasha, tigowana nyasha. Saka iye wamurodzwa nowedenga nokukodzwa nokukurumbidzwa wakapiwa zeta guru pamazita mamwe ose tigonatswa naro, tigonatswa naro. Ngati muimbere yedu Jesu Kristu ndishe wedu, timufugamire. Mavi ose agwadame, na marimi avumere, kuti Jesu ndiyeshe. Kuti Jesu ndiyeshe. Thank you very much. So we thank the Scottish missionaries who brought us the words, and then they compiled the hymns. I don't know where they got these hymns from, But they did a great work. You see, they gave us Jesus Christ, they gave us this word, and we used it in our own way to bring about an African version or a Zimbabwean version of Christianity or of worship. So we have these hymns, and I am surprised that you seem not to have such in English. I don't know where the Mares who came to Zimbabwe got this hymn, but we have it. It was just reenacting or bringing about the story about how Christ incarnated, the miracle of incarnation, the miracle of how God became man and walked among us as a sign of humility, obedience, and he is our model. He is our model as we serve him and as we serve one another. So today, this evening, we read the final part of chapter 2. that is Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 30. At first glance, when I got to this section, I thought, what am I going to say about this travel itinerary, a travelogue? So at first glance, the verses that we read this evening sort of ruin the mood of the letter. The letter has been interesting from the first verse of up to this section. We have our favorite verses in the Bible. I think no one has a favorite verse in this section of the letter. We might have our favorite verses in Philippians, and we maybe would talk about, I press towards the goal, or we may talk about this, the Christ hymn, but I don't think there is anyone who has a favorite verse in this passage that we read. Because Paul started the letter with a heart-stirring thanksgiving, mentioning his joyful prayers that he made for the church at Philippi. He went on to talk about his revelation about the benefits of his arrest in advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He encouraged the Philippians to live a life worthy of the gospel. And that exhortation is followed by a plea for unity that comes through humility as exemplified by Jesus Christ. So he was talking about Christ Jesus, how a humble mindset looks like through the Christ hymn that we have been singing in Shona a moment ago. Then the letter comes to this travel itinerary or a travelogue. So we want to look at why this travel itinerary. Maybe you say travel itinerary. I researched about the pronunciation. So I found that some would say itinerary, others would say itinerary. So we want to see why would he put this itinerary in the middle of his letter. We noted that verses 5 to 11 is a theology of the ideal Christian life that will be based on the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. But in this passage that we read, we see the type of lifestyle that should mark a genuine Christian. The type of lifestyle that should mark a genuine Christian. So in this passage, Paul is presenting Exhibit A and Exhibit B to show that the doctrine that I've been presenting to you to say, live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's actually possible, because there are people among you, there are brothers amongst us who are actually fleshing it out, who are doing it. So you can look at them. So he was trying to prove that the preceding gospel doctrine of Jesus Christ is not just something good to think about, but that it creates a beautiful gospel culture to live by. Why was he doing that? Paul understood that we are led more by looking at a pattern rather than trying to obey or to follow a principle or a precept. We are helped more when we look at a pattern, an example, a model, rather than trying to put into practice a concept or a precept or a principle. So what he was actually saying, this is impossible, just to look at Timothy and Epaphroditus. He was saying, while we can be built up theologically through teachings, Christianity is not only taught, but it can also be caught. So he was saying, catch it from these brothers. It makes me think about one of my uncles, who is a chaplain in the prisons and correctional services in Zimbabwe. When I was growing up, he was my model, and he remains my model. So even when I was thousands of kilometers away from him, his life would determine my behavior. Even when peer pressure wanted to affect me, I would say, I will not do this because of my uncle. I would think of my uncle. He was my model. I got an opportunity to tell him later on that you helped me. I was watching you. I was watching your life and your Christianity. I was copying you. So Christianity is not just taught, but it can be caught. After we would have explained all the theology, you need somebody to watch, you need someone to look at while he lives it, while he fleshes it out. So that is what Paul was intending to do when he brought up the names of these two brothers. So if an unbeliever brings a question to you, saying, as a Christian, what is different about your life as compared to mine? We have two things that you can do to him. Maybe you can stop and start to teach them theology and say, the difference between my life and yours is that I believe, I love and trust Jesus Christ. I believe that is the Son of God who died for my sins, so that I could be a child of God, born again and forgiven of all my sins. Now I am a new creation. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. The love of God is shed abroad into my heart by the Holy Spirit, so that I am able to love God and to love others, etc., and many other things that you can say as you teach theology. But there is another option. You could also say, come watch me live for a month, and then you tell me if there is any difference. I think that option is more challenging. It is easy to explain things, but then to invite somebody to come and watch you while you live, it will be very difficult. So Paul was not just giving a travel itinerary, but he was bringing out examples of some brothers who were doing it. In verse 17, he had given himself as the example. He said, look, I am being poured out as a drink offering. He was saying the Lord Jesus Christ is our model. But if you are looking for human models, if you are looking for model followers of Christ, look at me, look at Timothy, and look at Epaphroditus. So you are saying you can catch it from these models. Every one of us is supposed to be a model. There are people who want to catch it from you. Because Christianity is contagious. There are people who want to catch it from you. So we should accept that challenge and say, if there is anyone who is watching me, may he see Christ. Because Paul was saying, catch it from Timothy and catch it from Epaphroditus. So we want to look at these two brothers whom Paul brought up to the church at Philippi. Who were they? Generally, they were partners in the gospel with Paul and other brothers. They had the mindset of Christ. They could rejoice regardless of circumstances. We look at Timothy. Timothy was a type of a brother. He was the teaching and preaching type of a servant to God's people. It's not all of us who can be into preaching and teaching, but Timothy was an example of that ministry. He loved to handle God's word, to study its meaning, and share whatever God would reveal to him. He loved to teach and mentor others on how to apply God's word in their lives. So sometimes Paul would send him to preach in places where he could not go himself. He wrote in his letters to Timothy instructing him to preach the word, because he knew that Timothy was the preaching type of a servant, the preaching type of a model servant, servant of God and servant of God's people. The church should have those who are gifted to do the Timothy type of ministry, the preachers and the teachers. Timothy was modeling a Christian life that would encourage those who were called to preach and teach. Of course, we are not just restricted to our areas of, we are not just restricted to our comfort zones. We might find ourselves sometimes doing that which is outside our specific calling. But Timothy was specifically into preaching and teaching. So Paul said, in a way to encourage the church at Philippi, he said, if the Lord is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon, that is verse 19, for a visit. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others only care for themselves and not for what matters to Christ Jesus. So Timothy was unique. He was driven, whatever he did, his teaching and preaching was driven by a great compassion for the people that he saved. So compassion should drive us in whatever we do as part of serving in the kingdom. What about Epaphroditus? This one modeled a Christian life for the crew behind the scenes. As I am preaching right now, we have the crew behind the scenes, the technical department, those who are capturing what I am saying here. They are the Epaphroditus type. Those who are going to serve the drinks, the refreshments, they are the Epaphroditus type. Sometimes we just come here and we find these banners here. We don't even ask who put them up. These are the Epaphroditus type of people. Those who are called for hands-on sort of roles. those who want to have their hands dirty by serving and making things happen. Those who are called to translate God's love into action. Some of us specialize in preaching about God's love. But Epaphroditus type are those who put it into action. They put God's love, they translate it into action. Epaphroditus was a man that the church could trust to do those difficult assignments. The church sent him on a difficult, dangerous, roughly 800 miles long journey from Macedonia to Rome with a large amount of cash to deliver to Paul. After walking all the way, he became gravely sick. He nearly died, but God had mercy on him. Paul said, if he had died, though to die is gain, Paul would have had sorrow upon sorrow. He would mourn over his brother Epaphroditus. So our world is filled with sorrow, but the believer can say with Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, we are sorrowful, but yet always rejoicing. Paul would have wept over Epaphroditus because Paul was not an emotionless leader. This passage shows us how much Paul loved people. He is also one of the model servants. It shows us how much Paul loved people. He was also driven by love in his serving in the kingdom. So when you love people, you grieve over their absence. We have a number of funerals this week as a church here. We have lost our loved ones. Because we loved them, we grieve over their absence. But we do not grieve as those without hope. So Epaphroditus was a lovely brother. Paul described him. He said, he is a brother. He is a co-worker. He is a fellow soldier. He is a messenger and minister. So he was so many things to Paul. In this ministry, we really need the Epaphroditus type of people. In my first congregation in Zimbabwe, I had this type of person whom you could call in the middle of the night and say, please prepare, we want to go somewhere in the morning at 6 a.m. That you would know that elder would not say no. He would stop everything that he would be doing and we would travel. He was my Epaphroditus. He was a messenger, a co-worker. He really saved me. So, verse 25, Paul said, I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He has been longing to see you, and he was distressed that you heard he was ill. He was driven by love in such a way that when he knew that the church had heard that he was ill, instead of feeling pity for himself, he was rather concerned about the anxiety of the church. He was actually looking into the interests of others, even in his sickness. So he was distressed that the church heard he was ill. The Greek word which was translated to distress is only used elsewhere to narrate the agony of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't know how you pronounce this. In Zimbabwe, we say Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the agony of Christ, the word used to describe how Epaphroditus felt is only found in describing the agony that Christ had in his last moments before he went to Calvary. So even with death at his doorstep, Epaphroditus, like Christ, was obedient to the point of death. He still thought of others. He had the attitude of Christ. He had the mind of Christ. He was fleshing it out. He was a model Christian. So, serving Jesus and others will cost you. If you want to be the Epaphroditus type, you should understand that saving Christ and saving others will cost you. It will cost us. Sometimes it will mean you have to change your schedule this week, or you have to change your schedule immediately. It might mean you end up on a journey you haven't planned. It might mean you get sick along the way. And you have to continue ministering in weakness, like what Epaphroditus did. Sometimes in the journey of serving, we get sick, and we have to continue to minister in our weakness. With that weakness, within that suffering, we continue to minister unto others, like what Epaphroditus was doing. You might have to open your home or your wallet for others. And sometimes you may encounter great conflict or persecution. A Christian's life involves varying degrees of sacrifice, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And Christ will reward even the smallest acts of obedience. So we have a lot to learn from these model servants. We learn from Christ, who was the God-man. We learn from the model followers of Christ, the likes of Paul, who described his life as a drink offering. We learn from Timothy, the preaching and teaching type of serving. Learn from Epaphroditus, who had the mind of Christ, who could do anything. He was a brother, a co-worker, a soldier, a messenger. And he sacrificed a lot for serving Christ and for serving others. So we can take a leaf from these models, the models that Paul presented to the church at Philippi, so that we can be models as well in this world as we serve. We can also become model servants. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and King, who fleshed it out in this world so that we could see and we could have an example that it is possible. We want to thank you for all the models, the human models that you have given unto us in building us up to this point. We want to thank you for all those friends, for all those relatives that you have put into our lives, all those theologians, all those ministers, all those preachers that you have put into our lives so that we could be built up to this point. Thank you for all the models. We give you all the glory. Make us models, Father. Make us humble models in this world so that people can see you in our lives. Help us to flesh it out. Help us to show that it is possible to live this doctrine We want to thank you that we are going to be effective witnesses in this world so that people can come to you, so that they can come out of darkness into your marvelous light. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.